Hey, sweet friends, my name is Chef Schomburg. I started my baking business with a bottle of DiSerrano and one bundt cake pan. Fast forward to today, from news to magazines, speaking on national stages and more, I can truly say that baking has changed my life. So now, as a bakery business coach, I get to help others have the same success. I've helped hundreds of my students across the world in my global membership program create six-figure businesses, mainly from home. The Baking for Business podcast is an extension of that, from actionable tips to valuable tools and resources that can impact you as a business owner. I truly believe, y'all, we would never have been given a gift if we couldn't profit and prosper from it. So come on, darling, what are you waiting for? Hey, sweet friends. So this month, the time that we're recording this is actually May, and May is dedicated to Mental Health Awareness Month. Now, before we get into this episode, real quick, I want to preface something. Myself, as well as my guests today, we're not making light of, making fun of, or shedding anything negative when it comes to mental health awareness and those who actually suffer or who do have a real disease or ailment. However, it's not also focused on disease and ailments, but as well as feelings. With Mental Health Month, during this time of the year is normally where we highlight not just mental health, but also conditions, concerns, and things that plague us just all together. And that's some of the things that I want to talk about today. As entrepreneurs, especially as creatives, we have a lot of running issues in our community that no one ever really addresses. We had Miss Marla on, who was the owner of Mary Alice Cakes, who shared with us how, while she was forming her business, she herself went through a time of depression. So I decided for this month, why don't we talk about that? Some of the issues that go on in our baking and our caking community, and why is it that we keep suffering from the same mental concerns, the same stigmas over and over? How can we get over them and how can we address them? So now that I've got that out of the way, welcome to episode of 11, another episode of the Baking for Business podcast. I'm super excited to be here with you guys today. Today's guest is really, really awesome. She has a master's degree in IO psychology. She is also, an author of an amazing book called Create Your Own Magic, which I actually own a copy of and I love, because I believe all of us have the power to create some form of magic in our business. But aside from a psychology degree and aside from being an author, she herself is a baker. Miss Nikki is a leader in her own right. But I am also blessed because she has been a student of mine for a while, and I've got to watch this young lady grow and flourish over time. She owns D Delicious Delicacies, which is located in Miramar, Florida. Hi, Nikki. How are you today? Welcome to the Baking for Business podcast.
Hi, I'm doing good. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, beautiful. Awesome sauce. So tell me a little bit about your background. You just recently graduated IO psychology. What was it that made you want to focus on that in school?
So I actually have my AA in psychology. I initially wanted to do forensic psychology. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as you go through school, your major changes, your interest changes. And then I got my bachelor's in supervision and management. My first management position out of college was quality assurance manager. So quality assurance is kind of like the checks and balances of any organization or process. And I fell in love with that. And as time went on, you know, I had been out of school for almost 7 years after my bachelor's, and I just felt like I wasn't hitting, you know, I wasn't fulfilling my purpose. So I looked and I searched. I absolutely love business. I love the ins and outs of it, you know, working with teams and things of that nature, building organizations out. And that's pretty much what IO psychology does. It deals with, you know, the people, you know, so the internal stakeholders pretty much is what IO psychology focuses on.
That's awesome. So in dealing with people, I know that's one portion of you, because you have many portions. So aside from doing that, you definitely have the background for it. But all throughout while you've been in school, you've been baking. You're a baker.
Yes.
You're a baker yourself. And I know now we can say you're a celebrity chef. But I know before we get into these three things that we're going to talk about today. I know there was a time when you weren't a celebrity chef, but there was only one small switch that changed that. And what was that?
That was me, you know, setting my intentions, saying affirmations over my business every single day. And of course, putting in the work, you know, everything that you taught us, you know, we learned throughout the different memberships that we were in together. It completely changed everything for me. Just really setting those intentions, believing, you know, that I can have what I was asking for. You know, I was already putting in the work on the different platforms, and that changed everything. After I started saying that this is what I want every single day, it eventually manifested itself.
I love that. And so today, that's what I want to share. And I wanted to share that because I even have the same story. There was a time where, you know, the things I have in my business, I didn't have. My membership, I had to start all over again from the ground up. I've walked away from a business. So because I don't want someone to say, oh, well, you say that because you're you. And I don't want someone to say, oh, well, you're going to say this because you're you, or because you have a degree, or this is why it's easy. No, we've all been there at times where we've dealt with overwhelm. We've dealt with burnout. We've dealt with depression. So today we're going to cover three of those things that a lot of people deal with in our industry. But we're really going to talk about why people deal with them and how to overcome. So hopefully towards the end of this, it is my goal that everyone listening to this, if you see yourself here, understand that we're not blaming or pointing a finger. We just want to talk about it so that you can overcome that obstacle, because it is a stepping stone, but it's not the end. So one of the first issues, and the things that drive me crazy is people pleasing. In our industry, we have a tendency to take last minute orders. And we have a tendency to take last minute orders a lot. And we talk and somebody's like, wait, last minute orders? I don't think that's really a mental thing, but let's break it down. And this is what it really goes like. What happens is that I see so many people post in groups that they're not spending time with their family. They're up all night. I know people who have been hospitalized, including myself, for things such as dehydration. Because we're not drinking water. We're not doing like the simple shit that we should be doing to just be functioning as humans. So many people glorify the hustle. And because of this, we suffer from overwhelm and burnout. Burnout, I know so many bakers every other month who quit, who come back, who quit and come back. Burnout is real. So why do you think people keep having the same issues as bakers with burning out all the time? Like, why is it that we always have to people please?
I think a lot of times, you know, us bakers, creatives, I think we, in our mind kind of tells us, if I don't take this order, then I'm not going to make money. I'm not going to be successful. And it's not true. Like, you know, we have to find the balance, you know, between everything, and know and understand that you're always going to have to pick and choose. You know, it's one of those things you kind of have to pick your heart. There was a viral video of Shonda Rhimes. Actually, she was a keynote speaker at a college graduation. And she mentioned that, you know, in order for her to be there, she had to say no to her kids, you know, and you know, so you're never going to be 100% anywhere, right? Because if you're saying yes to this, then you're saying no to something else. However, for her, you know, she said that, you know, you have to choose when it's worth it, you know. And for me, I know for me in my business, I don't take last minute orders. I was actually having this conversation with one of my cake friends the other day and telling her, you know, she was like, somebody's wanting to order this for 5 days from now. And or like 3 days, something like that. And she was like, should I take it? And I was like, well, I don't take last minute orders. It's either I can do it or I can't, you know. And if I do, then this is what you can get. You know, you can't tell me what you want. It's like, if I can take the order, this is what I have available for you. Do you want it? If you don't, next. You know, and usually once you let that go, you'll get 5 more orders behind it.
Yes.
For, you know, respecting your policies and procedures, you know, so.
That's so true. And you covered a lot in a nutshell. And one of the big things, I think, so we're on number one, which is last minute orders, people pleasing, is people have a tendency to operate out of a spirit of scarcity. So what I notice with a lot of bakers, most of the bakers I know, they're on a job. So I'm like, so let me get this straight. Your baking business isn't even really providing your income. You're on a job and you're still taking last minute orders. And I think it's a mindset of, well, if I tell this person no, then the money's not going to come. It's not going to be there. And I'm like, no, it's going to be there. It's actually going to be there tenfold, because I'm a firm believer in that. When you do market yourself, you should be marketing yourself to attract the best and repel the rest. And what happens with last minute orders, and I can tell anybody who's listening to this, chances are that person who is always last minute, if they did it once, I guarantee you they've done it again. I guarantee you, if you close your eyes, you can think of people. And when we think about the reason, why is that? I don't want to blame anyone, but the truthful reason is because you allowed it. People can only do to us what we allow them to do to us. So I always tell my students, you train people how to treat you. The minute you take that last minute order one time, make no mistake, they're going to come back, and they're going to come back because in their mindset, they're going to say, oh, this is what she's capable of. I don't have to order in advance. I don't have to order ahead. If she did it before, she'll do it again. So now even when they tell their friends, oh, hey, oh, it's the last minute, I needed something for tomorrow night, their recommendation is going to be, oh, I know a girl. So now last minute Sally is going to recommend last minute Kelly. And it's this cycle that goes on and on and on. And it doesn't stop until we stop. And you put it on the head. If we don't say no to someone, we're saying yes to someone else. So if you don't say yes to someone, you're saying no to someone else. You get what I mean? But my thing is, I would rather you say no to that last minute order so you can say yes to spending time with your family. That to me is the real boss. That to me is the ultimate flex, especially in entrepreneurship. Everybody's always like, you know, boss, I'm a boss of this or that. And I'm like, no, not if you're a slave. You're not there with your family. You know, you're almost like you're creating another job for yourself. So that's one of the things that I hope people will look at a little bit differently this month and just going forward, and really ask yourself, what do I do when I people please? Am I doing this because I'm operating out of a mindset of fear, of scarcity? Is this something that I really, really need? And how can I position myself to where I don't attract these people? Because there are certain people. And y'all, we're not going to go into it, but y'all know exactly what I mean. Yep. So, exactly. So thank you for that. I love your answer. So that's number one. So number two that I notice we do a lot in our industry, which leads to, gosh. So number one, people please and last minute orders leads to burnout and overwhelm. But number two, for some reason, is one of the things that leads to depression and people quitting. And that's pricing. We struggle with pricing so much in our industry. And I think one of the reasons why we struggle with pricing is because we have an attachment to a price. And there's different things. Price is the number. It's the dollar amount that you set towards an item. Worth is what something is worth. And value is something totally different. So I think when we price our sweets, our desserts, our macaroons, our cupcakes, and someone tells us no, we assume that, well, because they said no to the price of an item, that they said no to my worth and my value. And that's not true. That's not true. So we meet people all the time who say, well, you know, the price is the price, or they don't want to pay the price, or this or that. So how did you, because your price very nicely, you price your stuff nicely. So what recommendations, or why do you think so many people in our industry are always struggling to, I don't want to say charge what you're worth, because obviously you're not worth $40, $50 or $100. You know, you're a human life and you're worth so much more. But why is it that people just don't want to sit down and do the, because it's math, it's numbers. At the end of the day, numbers doesn't lie. And there's even systems that do it for us. But I feel people are afraid to charge what they know they should be charging because out of fear of rejection.
Yeah, I think, and you mentioned earlier that marketing, you know, a lot of times we don't, I think that as business owners, or, you know, entrepreneurs, especially, you know, people that are new to the field, we don't sit and think that pricing and marketing, like everything goes hand in hand. So once you do the numbers, because that's what you have to do first, you do the numbers to see, this is what I need to charge. Then it's like, okay, well, if I'm charging this, who's going to buy it? You know, or I charge this and this, you know, five people said no, or that's too much. Then it's like, okay, maybe I'm overcharging, I'm overpricing this. What do I need to do? I'm not worth it. I need to do something else. Like, I need to change my pricing. And then they lower the pricing, but then that undervalues the whole industry. You know, you kind of throw it off, you water it down. And I don't know. To me, for pricing, it's just really simple. It's math. You know, it's numbers. Once you crunch the numbers, I mean, everybody does it. We pay for gas. You look, you know, you think now gas is like up and down, and there's a reason why it's going up and down, you know, because there's so many things that's factored into, you know, if it's in, you know, scarce, it's hard to get it. Now we have to charge a little bit more because, you know, you have to sustain yourself. So, you know, pricing is such, it's a hard conversation because you see it all the time in the cake groups. You see it all the time. And it's like, oh, I'm not going to charge that because, you know. I don't feel like I'm ready. I don't feel like I'm there. I don't feel like I'm, you know, I'm just starting out, and it has nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're so right. And those are some of the common people will say, and that's another thing that I feel we do. We hide behind excuses, because it's easier to give an excuse than to just point blank say, hey, you know what? I'm afraid that this person's going to say no. And guess what? If they say no, there's nothing wrong with that. But now as a business owner, it's up to you to now take ownership and say, okay, if these type of people keep telling me no, where can I go to find people that will say yes? And that's what I think that so many people don't do. They look at their current situation, but your current situation shouldn't dictate where you're trying to go in the future. You can't move ahead if you're always looking at your review. And you nailed it. And I hear so many excuses. People will say, well, I'm new. And I'm thinking, well, what the hell does that got to do with it? You still got to pay your, like, it is literally illegal to not pay yourself an hourly rate. You still have to factor in the profit percentage. It's crazy when you don't add up your costs, direct costs and fixed costs. Or some people will say, well, I'm a home baker, I can't charge that much. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Like, Pepperidge Farm, this woman, she started out as a home baker. She was doing six figures, over 100,000 in sales per year before she even got her first factory or warehouse. And that was back in the day. $100,000 a year back then was equivalent to like tons of money now. So it's not to say that amazing brands can't come from home, but I think we tell ourselves all these excuses to kind of justify the reason for doing so rather than saying the truth. And the truth is that the truth is just flat out, you're just afraid. But once you cross that fear, we have to understand that fear is just a stepping stone. It's not a stop sign. And I would rather someone get the help, because there's so many resources out there, not even talking about myself. There's SCORE, there's a Small Business Association. There's tons of other resources out there that have classes that teach you, you know, hey, how to position yourself, how to put yourself in a local community. But I think the thing is that, again, for so many people, we don't want to admit that we are a business owner. People love to play and to do the easy stuff. Like, I know we're not even going to talk about on this broadcast, but so many people who they half-ass bake, like they bake from home. They're not registered, you know, Cash App, Venmo, you tell them something about Square and they look at you crazy. And it's like, everybody wants to be a business owner or a boss until they get a letter. Cause my top consultations are from people that get letters from their state of government's office and are like, chef, what is this? I'm going to be honest, I've never paid taxes. And it's like, what? But you're the man. You got the Louis Vuitton bag. You got the Chanel. You know, you're always hollering about you're a boss. It's like, and you're not paying your, no, I'm not licensed. And it's like, why? Why? So we play dirty in business so much, but just get the license. It doesn't even cost that much. You know, get your license. Yeah, get your license, get your home inspected and be a full-time business owner. But again, that's another fear that people go through. So I'm so grateful that you elaborated on that. And the third one, which kind of ties into the second one, the third one is super aggravating for me. They won't pay that around here. I see so many business owners, anytime I post a post or an excuse, their reasoning is always, they won't pay that around here. And again, I think it's so much easier to, so what we're doing is that we then project because of the fact of our circumstances and our finances. You can't fathom paying $5 for a cupcake. So you think someone else won't pay $5 for a cupcake. And the reason why I know it's not true is because the mere fact of when you say they won't pay that around here, that lets me know where you're at. Because if you were hanging around some rich people or some people with money, you wouldn't have that problem. So why are people always using that as an excuse? They won't pay that around here. Or what do you think that really, really boils down to? Because that's something that keeps a lot of people struggling on the struggle bus.
Definitely. And I've had this conversation with several people in the industry. And, you know, it here in South Florida, at least, our neighborhoods are kind of like, you know, across the street is, you know, a certain tax bracket. And then the other side of the street is the hood, you know? And so it gets confusing. I know, but it's a lot of what you said, that they project what they would pay onto other people and saying, okay, well, I wouldn't pay that. So I can't see how anybody else would even want to pay that. Got to do some self-reflection, you know, but the reality is, the best way, and I think Rick Ross said it best, he, in one of his recent books that he put out, you know, he was like, we all have vices. We all have things that we will spend money on. You know, his is cars. He'll spend any amount of money on a car. Mine, you know, mine may be something completely different. You know, mine may be a nice vacation. I'll spend whatever to go to see a different country and enjoy it. Our customers, it may be a lavish party, which is where they're getting their supply of desserts from us. I may not spend $10,000 on a party. I may not spend $1,000 on desserts, but it doesn't mean that my customer won't.
Yes.
You know, and if that's the value of your product, that's the value of the services that you're offering, you go and find those clients. You know, this is where your market research comes in. You go out and you market to a specific clientele that, you know, their vice is spending money on specific things. You know, there are people who, there are so many, even here in South Florida, even, you know, you don't have to be a specific race, because there's people in the Black community that will spend thousands of dollars on huge parties. Like Miami is like, everything got to be show stopping. You know, it doesn't matter who it is, it has to be show stopping. So there are people who are going to spend money on a whole entire dessert table, a huge cake, five tiers that nobody eats. I'm going to be honest with you. You go to these parties, nobody's eating the desserts. Yeah. Everybody leaves and there's an entire dessert table still there, but they spent money on it. You know, you may not, you know, because this may be your side job, you know, your side hustle, your side business, whatever, however you call it. So for you, this is extra income for you to now, but again, it's now to support your vices. That's whatever that may be. You mentioned the Louis purses, the Chanel purses, all those things. You might like to buy purses. She might like to splurge and buy herself some $50 cupcakes.
That's it.
We can't judge them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to spend $50 on cupcakes? I have the cupcakes. Let's do business.
That's true. And that's what it's all about. And I mean, that's business in a nutshell. It's just providing a solution. You are the answer to what someone is looking for. But my thing is, you hit it. It's so true. We have to make sure we do our market research. And that's what I think when people say they won't pay that around here. Normally, that's what it boils down to, is I know when I hear a baker say that's someone that hasn't done their market research, or either they haven't set themselves up properly and branded themselves so that they can, because that's another thing. You can do market research, and I don't mean to be mean. I'm talking to people with Okay, I'll throw a little bit of shade, but this is on me. This isn't on Nikki. I'm talking to people with cartoonish, bubble-ish looking logos, people who take pictures of stuff on the stove, people who don't edit photos and stuff. Sometimes you have to be mindful because what you put out is what people view you as. So if people aren't paying you, are we going to be woman enough or boy enough to put on our big girl panties or boxers and look at ourselves? Look at your feed and ask yourself, would you pay you, right? If you half-ass show up, you half-ass put out content, you only post when you feel like posting. And then when all you do is show up and sell, and then you struggle with sales and you wonder why people don't buy from you, there's a connection that's missing. And if people aren't putting that value on you, that perceived value, then you have to really be honest. Have I had a photo shoot? Do I take well-lit pictures? You know, am I showing up and having conversations with my customers? Am I being consistent with my email marketing, or do I just email when I have something to sell? You know, so I think it boils down to taking responsibility and ownership when we say they won't pay that. And like you said, understanding who they are, but then also making a move. So now you've discovered they won't pay that, they're great. So now what are you going to do to go to the people that will pay it? Because that's what I'm all about. I'm all for all my students. I want them to get out the hood or get out wherever they are, because, hey, no offense, there's money in the hood, right? You see people in the hood walking around with Jordans all the time. Why is that? Because like you said about vices, they value that. They believe that that's worth. So most of the time, Cousin Bubba or Cousin Bone Quickly or whoever's closest to you, they're not going to support you either way. And it's not a bad thing, but sometimes you can't. Some people, it's just a stigma, and it's a whole nother conversation in ourselves. Some people who are closest to you might not want to see you rise quicker than them.
That's true.
Right? A lot of people do have crab in a barrel mentality. So we can't always put ourselves in front of our cousins, our aunties, our uncles, and say they won't pay that. I think it's really up to us to get out and move and go to the people who will pay. One of the stories I share with my students is I remember one time I went to a neighborhood, and this was really early on, and I knew real quick the type of clients I wanted to work with, and people all had clothes hanging outside their door. And I thought, oh, I thought maybe they were having like a drive, you know, a donation or something like that. And I asked the lady, because it was a nice coat. I said, man, that's not, are you guys having a donation or something? Because I know everybody has their clothes outside their door. And she just looked and she laughed because she didn't understand that I didn't understand. And she said, no, silly, that's for the dry cleaners. And I said, the dry cleaners is coming through this neighborhood, picking up. Y'all don't drive to the dry cleaners? And she's like, no, we have a dry cleaning concierge. He comes through the neighborhoods and pick up their clothes and returns their clothes back to them. And I thought, man, what type of fancy, expensive ass shit is that? You know, like, I couldn't see it. So I called the company, you know, just naturally. And it turns out that was a $50 a month service for just one visit a week. But the neighborhood that I was delivering to, that was nothing to them. Right. I mean, clearly you could tell they didn't care, because this was like a nice Chanel jacket that this woman just had outside her door. You know, so again, that I took a notion of that. I paid attention to where I was, the landmark, the area code. Those were the type of people I needed to be around. So I'm always telling my students, you have to position yourself in front of the people who will pay, because they are out there. There's doctors in your city. There's lawyers in your city. I'm pretty sure there's a hospital in your city before you tell me, oh, no, we don't have people like that. Yes. Yes, you do. Every city has a nice side of town and a hood side of town. So I'm encouraging you, when you say they won't pay that around there, to leave there and to go here. Go where the money resides. Like, like some people say, yes. So there are so many other issues that we can talk about, but I hope that these were pretty enlightened and pretty eye-open. So Nikki, do you have anything else you want to add when it comes to overcoming fear and burnout and overwhelm and all the things that we deal with in our business that we shouldn't really be dealing with?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing when I was thinking about, you know, this conversation I know we were going to have, and, you know, you mentioned this Mental Health Awareness Month. I think awareness is very key for us to know and understand. We're all self-aware one way or another, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of acknowledging it and then moving forward, moving on to doing the next thing. once you're self-aware, you know what to do and what not to do. And it'll help you to kind of position your business to go along with that. So if you know you struggle with pricing, align yourself with someone who can assist you with that. You know you struggle with marketing, do the same thing. Join the entrepreneur community. You know, it's all about marketing, you know, and, you know, surround yourself with people that are going to help you to do those things and, you know, come up with standard operating procedures for your business.
Yes.
So that way you can truly be a boss. You can truly be able to, you know, move around and do your business completely different. And when you have those standard operating procedures, that's kind of like set in stone. In the event that there comes a time where you have to say no to a customer, then you're going to be able to say yes to your family or yes to self. Sometimes it's just a matter of saying yes to yourself.
Yes.
You know, you with those procedures in place, you know, you're going to know when you're going to burn out.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, the end of last year, I had to take a step back from my business. My friend passed away and she was like the foundation, like she was there with me from the beginning. And when she passed away, I was in school. I had like a lot going on. You know, I had people pass away prior to her. But in that moment, I knew I couldn't deal with people. You know, I couldn't answer everybody every single day. I couldn't, you know, but it was so much easier because I had things in place.
Yeah.
I had my website there. That was like my first employee, you know, so I was able to just put up a notice, not accepting orders at this time, or, you know, something simple where just order this online, order the cake, order the cupcakes, we'll deliver it. No issues, no direct contact, like, you know, just really making it simple. But I was self-aware first as a human being in knowing that mentally I'm not here. Mentally, you know, I'm going through a lot of things emotionally, the whole nine yards. And I was able to say, okay, I need to step back before I truly burn out. And then cause the quality of my customer service to go down.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's a lot of those things that everything goes hand in hand. But then because I had that in place now, you know, 6 months later, I'm able to say, okay, I'm ready to get back in. Let me pick up where I left off, because I had everything structured a certain type of way. I, you know, had that moment of, okay, this is what I need to do. I knew, you know, I was self-aware. Just me being self-aware, the start of it, made it 10 times easier for me to deal with everything then and then now.
You're right. That is huge. That's a really big tip, because I think that's what some people, because when we talk about self-awareness, it causes us to sit down and to examine ourselves, to check ourselves. And sometimes we don't want to do that because we feel like the answers that we get may not be what we want to hear. I feel it's easier to point the finger to put, oh, I'm tired of these last minute customers. Or like we said, oh, they won't pay here. Or I'm tired of them not paying the price. And it's always real easy to say it's they, them, and these people. But it's so hard to sit down and say, okay, what am I doing? Right. Like, am I getting the business coach that SBA, Small Business Association, offers me in my community? You know, are they a bakery business coach? No, but they're business owners. They've managed something in the past. They can help you. That's where I always tell everybody to start. Like, not only that, but you need to network with other local people in your area. But it's just about being self-aware. And you mentioned SOPs. So many people, for anyone new listening, SOPs are standard operating procedures, meaning your contract. How do you operate business? What are your hours? I know bakers, you know, we know someone we won't mention, but who is like, can you believe she texts me at 9? Or can you believe she texts me at 10? If you're one of those people that are getting text messages from clients at 9 or 10 at night, are you setting the foundation? Are you telling people, hey, I'm closed? Or are you answering that text? You know, we can't, as women, we always want to be people pleasers, because I feel like we always have this, I don't want to say Captain Save-A-Hole syndrome, but sometimes it's just Captain Care Bear.
Right.
I'm going to be honest. As women, we like to care and take care and nurture the hell out of things. And I don't even have children, but, you know, we'll nurture the neighbor. We nurture everything before we nurture ourselves. You know, so as bakers, even with SOPs, and you mentioned that having a website, that itself can cut down on so much overwhelm. I'm always shocked when I meet bakers who don't want to invest in a website. You know, I'm like, what? Like, it's your business. And I feel even investing in ourselves, why are we always so afraid? A class, a course, if it's going to get you the result quicker, if it's going to get you the answer quicker, there are people in life, we can only pay for things two ways. We could pay with things with our time or with our money. And Warren Buffett, who's one of the richest entrepreneurs in the world, said he won't even invest in somebody unless they fail. Because he's like, you're not going to waste my time. I got money, but what you won't waste is my time. So I think when we talk about being overwhelmed and always having burnout, that comes with setting boundaries. And that does come with SOPs, standard operating procedures. You know, this is when I'm open. This is when I'm closed. This is when I'm going to batch bake. And this is when I'm going to say no. You know, and being on schedule, it gives you a certain freedom, and you will start attracting what is meant for you. Matter of fact, because you've had some awesome, when we talk about attracting and like your book, Create Your Own Magic, we'll get into that. That's all about attracting people that are meant for you. And let's see, I'm reaching behind myself one second. To see, because I knew it was there for those watching on YouTube. This is a copy of the book. It's called Create Your Own Magic. So take me back to a time where you didn't have the celebrity order, but there was someone coming into town that you had the opportunity to bake a cake for. Do you remember that person and how that went about?
Yes. If we're talking about the same person, right? From Louisiana. Yes. Yeah. So that was a very, that experience was, I completely forgot about that. That was different. And I don't think that she was actually I don't know that she was the time frame, if she was the first celebrity that I would have baked for at that time. But she wasn't necessarily the person for me, I guess, that, you know, me supplying her. And it's crazy because she was actually the only celebrity at the time. I was just going to take her samples of my cakes.
Yeah.
And of, you know, of my desserts. And it didn't go as planned. It didn't work out. But every other celebrity that I've ever worked with paid invoices.
You never gave up. And I think that's one thing. And I love that because so many people don't persevere. You know, people are always like, I'm trying to be consistent. And I'm like, but what you need to be is persistent. Consistent is doing something over and over. We all want to do something over and over. It's all great to have habits and routines. And that's why I said, tell me about that young lady, because it didn't work out. But now right. I know you got a couple of other great stories. This is where persistence comes in, because persistence is being consistent through obstacles. And I think everybody goes to, I've always shared before, I've lost my mom in a house fire during culinary school. So no, everything wasn't peachy. You shared that you lost someone too. Everyone has lost someone, but it's about being persistent. And a couple of years fast forward, it was a cake. It was white and I think black and red. I think it had like, I remember what it looked like, but was the guy a baller who you did it for?
Yeah, that was for Hassan Whiteside. He was on the Miami Heat basketball team.
That is amazing. And then a little bit after that, you had a record label reach out to you. And Capitol Records. It was a popular pop artist. And then she sent cakes to her fans. And the pop artist, the young lady's name was?
Lauren Gray.
Wow. Okay. So just an example of when you put yourself out there, even when it doesn't go the right way the first time, to not get overwhelmed, to not get burned out. You stayed the course, you kept at it. And I'm going to read just one reflection of your book, and I will have a link to your book in the show notes. And that's what it's all about. It's just taking a self journey. It's just being self-aware, speaking what you want into existence, creating what you want, because until you change these behaviors, the behaviors that we talked about, the people pleasing, the lowballing yourself, not valuing yourself, the they won't pay that around here, not marketing, not doing your research, not doing the things to attract people to your business who will pay you, until you become self-aware, like Nikki said, you won't be able to embrace or know what all you can be capable of. And so one of these days, it's an excerpt in here, and I want to read it because I love it. It says, "I don't fake it until I make it. I faith it until I make it," meaning believe. Fakeness and fear have no room in our lives. You should never fake something, because that means you don't believe that it is yours already. Have faith that what you are seeking is already seeking you too. Keep the faith until you get to where you are going. Write down some things that you need to write down in order to shift your energy for your daily reflection. And I think that's so cool, because I get tired of people saying fake it till you make it. I'm like, why you can't just believe it until you achieve it?
Yep.
So, yep. You know, like who wants to be fake? So I love that you're full of stories and inspiration and tons of tips on the management side and the psychology of everything. And I love watching your journey as a woman, and I'm blessed to watch you as a business owner as well. So thank you so much for coming on today.
You're welcome.
These were tough questions. I feel like today was more like a red table talk or something. I don't want anybody being mean, or I know you guys always DM me or at me on social media, but what I hope is that your eyes were open today. I hope you learned something from this. We all go through different things, and I hope you will take one of these fears that you currently have, or one of these things that may hold you back in your business, and you will turn them into successes, because that's what I truly believe that everyone is meant to be. What about you, Nikki?
Yeah, I hope that everyone, you know, take time and take from this segment. I know we talked, about a lot of different things, but take from it whatever resonated with you, work on it, do some self-reflection. And, you know, like I always tell everyone, my favorite phrase, affirm the life that you want, create the space for it to be, and it'll manifest.
Awesome. You are amazing. All right, you guys, so how awesome was Nikki? I really do hope that this conversation was just one thing, eye-opening. It's not to shift blame. Everybody is new. We all go through different feelings in business. And all I want us to do is to look at some of the problems that are going on in our industry and just come up with a solution to find them. That's all. So if one of the things we listed or talked about today is something that plagues you, then I want to do like Nikki told us to do, and that homework is to just be self-aware. I want to ask yourself, what is it today that resonated with you, and how can you change that? That's all I want for you to do, because if we don't look at these things and if we don't come up with a solution, a key, a roadmap as to how we're going to get over them, they're constantly going to stall us. They're constantly going to be roadblocks, when all they're actually meant to be is stepping stones, just something for us to step over so that we can get to the other side. I really enjoy hanging with you guys today, and I hope you guys appreciated this conversation. Please tag me on social media at Baking for Business. Tag me as you're listening. Take a screenshot of yourself listening right now, because I'm always DMing people and giving out gift cards, and you never know when you will be one of those people. And as always, I appreciate you guys listening. If you want to get a copy of this book, which you should, I love it. And I think it'll really, really be a wonderful challenge. Create Your Own Magic by Nikki Bryant. I'm going to put a copy to the link in the show notes, as well as all of her information as well. And we do thank her a million times over for coming on the podcast and sharing with us today. I can't wait to connect with you guys again. This was fun. Bye for now.